I think there's been a lot of discussion. I actually only asked questions, but I will just briefly weigh in and say, as the only commissioner who voted against this memorandum of understanding this summer, I don't see any reason to now vote to keep it in any way. I don't think we've learned anything new. I think we've had concerns all along, and I think those concerns continue to bear out. And so I do support moving away from this memorandum of understanding at this point.
Everett or Trish, whomever.
I think, you know, for me, it's I'm kind of with Everett. I love your analogy, Everett, of the plane taking off, and I'd like to put this behind us. There's been a lot of work, a lot of effort. It's unfortunate that things did not prove out to be how we had hoped, but it's given us a clear indication, and the plane is taking off, and we are leaving. We are moving forward with our extraordinary agency and support EMS to provide the continued level of care that's pretty exceptional in our community. And I don't want anything to ever happen to that. So, ready for takeoff. My seatbelt's buckled.
Everett? Oh, you're muted, I think.
I see that, yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Right. Yeah, no, I feel like this is rescinding the MOU is the first step. We need to do it, so we should get on with it.
Okay, Gail?
I have nothing to add. I made the motion.
I just want to just say that this is, you know, the MOU was an intentional agreement. It was meant to express our intention to work together and support this ballot measure. The ballot measure was not approved by the voters. It does not have a termination provision. So, I mean, the agreement symbolized an attitude of cooperation, essentially. I think that we are very clear that we are moving on. So I am in favor of resolution 21561 to rescind our MOU. And if there's no further comment or discussion, we can call for a vote.
But I'm sorry, I did want to just say one more thing, and that is that I think even that MOU was not really participated in by both parties either. That has been my understanding, and that is part of my thinking tonight as well, that Superintendent Butler tried to move things forward. Remember, it was an agreement to have a conversation about maybe to agree about something in the future. And I do feel like on our side, we did try to continue that through. And there was a 60-day window in which that was supposed to happen, and that hasn't happened either, I believe. So when I talk about concerns we had then, those carrying through, that level of follow through is part of it. And so the fact that we have tried to carry out our side of that memorandum of understanding and have not been able to, based on the other side's inaction, is a huge part of it for me too, to say, okay, let's continue not do it. Let's set it aside.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, Nathan was reaching out to them to work on the ILA, which was the next obvious step, and made no headway. There was just no time and no response. So, yeah, absolutely. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that it was intentional, right? I mean, but we definitely reached out, tried to set dates. We're not able to make this happen. And I mean, to this day, I don't know if they even had a campaign committee. I wasn't asked to be on it. It felt like after July happened, I don't know what happened after that. And it just is what it is at this point. So I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus, but we were not able to make headway and get where we needed to be.
Yeah,
and if the board or the agency changes in the future, there could be the possibility of working together again. It's just right now, under these circumstances, we're making a decision for our staff and volunteers to go forward this way.
Yes.
Just to be clear, I wasn't suggesting malice or anything, but we upheld our side of an understanding, and I don't feel like the other side did, for whatever reason that was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were some things that were hard to read. So, okay. I will call, since there's been a motion and a second, and we've had our discussion, I'll call for a vote to approve Resolution 21-561, the resolution of Sound County Public Hospital District Number 1 to withdraw from Memorandum of Understanding with Sound County Fire Protection District 3, signed on July 28, 2021. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay, that passes unanimously. Thank you all very much for that discussion, your consideration, and I appreciate your values and your integrity as you work through this process. And we owe a great deal of appreciation to our staff at EMS for their patience with this process. They have been through it. I know it's been hard. I wish it hadn't gone on so long. But here we are, and we're moving forward. So thank you very much for sticking with us. So next.
Commissioners.
Yes.
Did you want to look at the roadmap that I proposed, or are you, I'm sorry, was I cutting you to the punch?
No, we do. I mean, thank you, Nathan. I was just going to say
next. I was like, no.
I know that sounded a little like, what is next? I just asked our superintendent to go ahead and put together a timeline of what we can expect to have happen for our EMS agency and things at Village at the Harbor throughout the next year and a half, just so we all have a sense together of our process as we're moving forward. So I think mainly if we can just start and touch on these briefly, start with EMS. Everett and Nathan and I spent a lot of time working on the budget, and we did budget to fill some staffing holes at EMS where we just don't have what we need. And so we have gone ahead and budgeted for an assistant chief / director of operations role. And Nathan will correct me if I say any of this incorrectly, because he has better terminology than I do. But this is, basically the timeline lays out that December 2021, we begin hiring for DEP. We are preparing for an EMT class, and it goes on. And I know you've all had time to review this, and we will go ahead and post this on our website. Are there any comments? And Nathan, do you want to weigh in on any of this? But I think it's pretty clear to show the direction that we are hoping to go in the next year.
Yeah, I think just for the benefit of the public, if you'd give me maybe 5 minutes, commissioners.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. So I think the first step really is December. We've got some auxiliaries that we're trying to build to try to expand our operational depth without the amount of investment that an EMT class takes. So we're building a marine auxiliary of people that are boat safety trained, able to support us as boat hands on marine responses. That reduces the number of EMTs that need to be deployed on marine missions. We're building a non-medically trained driver program where people receive all the training they need to operate an ambulance safely driving code, in addition to some incident command training and some first aid CPR. By the end of the year, we will have completed those two auxiliaries, neither of which is large, but adds, 3 to 5 people on each. We also make sure that our community paramedicine hires can both operate an emergency rig under code, which means that 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, we've got a second team. Team is probably too grand a word. At least a second EMT able to respond code in a rig back to the station or to a scene if needed on a concurrent call. We'll also complete deployment of our new ambulance. And the onboarding for our 5th staff EMT, which gives us critical depth on the staff front. January 2022, we begin an EMT class. We work on our 6-year budget planning for an EMS levy. We transfer money to our reserve fund. Codan radio project should be implemented, giving us better comms countywide. Very grateful to the county for that. We also have invested in some new radios, both handhelds and mobiles. So for personnel as well as for emergency response rigs. By spring, we should have completed our EMT class. Hopefully we'll have renewed our EMS levy by then, either in February or April, and hopefully complete a hire. We've proposed hiring an assistant chief and training officer. The big reason for this is, well, severalfold. Number one is that our current union agreement doesn't provide for a training officer, and our training officer is a full-time response medic, does not have time to put into a really good training program. Now, that said, she does an extremely good job, but it's basically not fairly handled with respect to her because she's putting in too much of her own time and that kind of thing. We also start working on union negotiations in the spring and summer, and we work on a new capital improvement plan. We expand our outreach programs. And as we move into summer, our fifth paramedic finishes medic school at Medic One Foundation. Margaret Longley will have a 3-month training on, in person here in the station, responding with other medics. We'll also do some capital needs ordering, continue to develop our EMTs, potentially some emergency medical dispatch updates that I know our medical program director would like to do. And then in the fall, we can move towards station shifting for the medics. We should have enough medics to do that, complete our union agreement, complete our 2023 budget, and as a last chance for our EMS levy renewal. It's a lot of investment in our agency and our people and our facility and our fleet, but it should get our operations where they need to be. Having critical depth at the management level is really important. This job is much too large for one person. It has been for years with the call volume that we have. Being able to create that assistant chief training officer role, provided the board is willing to have me spend at least half my time at EMS, gives us more depth here. Right now, basically every person here reports to me. And we've delayed hiring any mid-level management because we've not wanted to saddle the fire department with that. And quite frankly, the workload on that just comes out of my hide. I work a lot of hours. And it's hard. And that's basically because we've wanted to accommodate their desire to have their own management. But we really can't delay hiring on that. It's just way too big a job for one person. And if we go a different route, then whoever we hire to be a chief would be have the same problem everybody else has had, which is one person to run this entire agency. It's just not very practical. I will say, if the board would like to hire a full chief, we potentially could after we do our EMS levy. We could kind of see how it goes. And I'm happy if the board would like to go that route instead of the assistant chief and training officer. I'm actually fine with that, too. Frankly, I'm in charge either way, right? I mean, not that I love being in charge or anything, but it's, not necessarily that consequential for me. It's just an honest assessment of what our agency needs. Is it needs more depth. It needs more people in management positions giving this agency time. I think it's an exciting plan. We've got lots going on. We've done a lot to stabilize our agency to make sure that we're strong to face whatever is coming. And I'm happy to take your input.
Awesome plan, Nathan. Thank you for laying that out clearly.
Yes, thank you. I so appreciate having this. It's very comprehensive, and I can tell you
we need to talk about time into that.
Yeah.
We need to talk about the levy issue and our timing on that.
Yeah, we do. We need to decide when we're going to go ahead and go for it. I think, we've got options February, April. We should do it earlier in the year. I just have a little side note question. Sorry, it's just something I realized I didn't know. The EMT class, Nathan. So we have people signed up to participate in that. Is there a cost to them, or is it just coming out of our expenses? What are their materials, those things that they need? What does that look like?
It's pretty straightforward. It's $400 for supplies, basically a very expensive textbook, which the district will reimburse to the candidate once they complete their education and make a commitment to be a volunteer for San Juan Island DMS.
Okay. So they just have to complete the training, pass the test, and then we'll get their expenses back.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. I was just curious.
I just have a question. If someone couldn't afford that $400, is there a way for them to get a scholarship? Is there a scholarship available?
No, there is not a scholarship available, but yes, if there is a pressing need, we would definitely take that seriously.
Okay. I mean, I just think that's good to know, because I would hate for, you know, the financial need of $400 to be a deal breaker for someone that might be valuable to the organization.
I think part of it is, you know, we want people willing to make a real commitment to us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The cost of the agency to pay for this training is substantial. And the cost of the books and stuff is not to the agency. Like, we can easily pay for that. But a lot of what's going on here is we're asking people to make a real commitment, to put some skin in the game, to not just show up for a couple of weeks and be like, oh, this is hard, I quit. And you know, we've invested in that person. Maybe we didn't take somebody else that wanted to take the class. So as a general rule, I think it's good for people to invest something, put some skin in the game. That said, I would definitely discount, you know, like, people would need to pay something. But if they were like, well, I can afford $200 and I really want to do this, then I'd be, well, great. You know, come on over. You know, it's not really about the money for us. It's about people making a commitment and being willing to stick with our agency long enough to be worth the investment. Because, you know, it's a 220-hour class, but you are not ready to treat patients on your own after 220 hours. It's going to take a lot more investment after that. It takes at least a year of really persistent response for someone to truly be, you know, an independent, competent EMT, where if you drop them into any scene and they're on their own, that they're totally capable of knowing what to do. That's not a low investment for us. I mean, it's a lot of time and commitment. So I guess the bottom line, and I know I'm belaboring this and I apologize, is just that people need to have some skin in the game.
Understood. Thank you.
Thanks. So do we want to take on the topic of hiring for Director of Ops, Assistant Chief, or do we want to talk about when we're going out for our EMS levy renewal first?
Well, what do we disagree on, commissioners?
Sure that we do.
Well, are we thinking of advertising the position right as soon as possible? Do we need to okay that? Or is that just Nathan's decision?
Well, the budget, if you approve the budget, then you've approved the decision regarding the kinds of hiring we're making. And we can rewrite the budget or do it differently. You could even pass the budget and just say, you know, you need to do a different kind of hire. But basically, the budget constitutes your authorization, which we're going to cover later. If you wanted to, okay. We could definitely delay a week, have a special meeting if you wanted substantial changes to the budget.
Right. We spent so much time working on this, and Everett and I, you know, worked with you and talked about the needs, the specific needs of the agency and what we do specifically need to hire for. And then looking at the RCW regarding the way the district is aligned in terms of leadership and administration, the superintendent has managers that answer to the superintendent. So we've got the manager at the Village of the Harbor, we've got our manager at the PhD, and we will have our assistant chief manager at EMS, and hopefully we'll fill that hole for the training officer. So I think this is the right thing to do. We have the money to do it. And I would suggest that Nathan just move forward and post the job listing. It's difficult to hire, but hopefully we'll find the right candidate.
It will help with the clear direction the board has given regarding where we're going. That will help.
Yeah, I'm just reviewing the survey results that went out to volunteers and went out to staff about their wishes, and, you know,
I think it was inconclusive, right? You know, the kind of, I mean, there's probably nobody that understands the union agreement as well as me. Oftentimes I have to explain it to union members. I mean, it's, the union agreement, a large, complicated document, and the bottom line there is just that there's nothing in there that provides for a training officer. I would love to just basically cut 6 shifts a month for our training officer and have her in the station corresponding amount. She's not interested in that. She loves being a full-time response medic. I mean, it's a very clear need, though. If you're looking at vulnerabilities in this agency, you know, as a department head, I have at least been adequate. And, you know, but not having a training officer who is really obligated to do the work and for whom we have a pay system that matches up with the work they're doing is a really major institutional weakness. And I don't know how it's gone on so long. I really don't. And I think it gives us a lot of neat opportunities, right? I mean, we do our OTAP training once a month plus run reviews, which is about what she can handle with her workload, and it's a lot of work. But we really need to be organizing trainings, additional trainings with Island Air, with Peace Health, with Law. You know, we need to be doing, you know, emergency drills or disasters. We need to be doing a lot more than we're doing. And she does not have time to do it because she's a full-time medic, right? I mean, and she's not in the station day to day. When people want to come in and make up their skills testing, when people want to do these things, there's no one here in a position of leadership like that who can do that. And it can't just be the chief. I mean, I don't have time. I could be a paramedic for 30 years. I still wouldn't have time. It doesn't change anything. And I mean, I've gone on a number of EMS calls, and, you know, I actually think I've gone on more than the last couple chiefs. So, I mean, I don't treat patients, right? But I mean, no one has time to do that. Like, we need someone who has time to give staff and give our agency to do this. So, I mean, that's.
You know, I guess I'd like to chime in here and say what I appreciate and what you bring to the table and have brought to EMS is your administrative abilities, and they are very, very strong. And you have unearthed a lot of problems that were longstanding that we didn't even know we had. And I would be very concerned too, because now we're looking at those were inherited through various EMS chiefs. And I would not like to see that happen again. So I'm inclined to certainly say the operations chief of ops and training makes more sense, leaving you in the administrative piece. Because that's where you excel.
I do appreciate that. I do want to point out, though, that I've led this agency through a lot, and that it's taken more than just administration. I know that, you know, you intend that in the best way possible, but we've been through a lot as an agency, and I've managed to keep everyone from quitting, managed to keep the ship sailing, managed to deal with all the different partnerships, managed to, you know, deal with the staffing needs, manage to do all this stuff. So I am an administrator, but I am also a manager, and I believe I've done a good job. That said, I think that I, you know, excel on the village side and on the PhD side. So I just think we've got enough money on the PhD side to afford the help we need, and we don't on the EMS side. So not to be like sensitive. I just don't love it when people are always like, well, he's just an administrator.
No, and I didn't, I meant
that. Yeah, I thought that fawning praise was plenty, but wow, apparently, you know, need a little more. That's fair.
Sorry if I offended you in any way, because I meant that in the biggest, boldest way, having worked with an administrator who was at the convalescent center, was the chief person, and you know, I see you in that light. So, but you have done such an exceptional job, and I would hate for somebody else to come in and undo what you've done. So.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I do.
Yeah, that won't happen because we're here and Nathan will still be here. And yeah, I think having you on there is part-time, like you said, and having a, chief of operations and training,
assistant chief and training officer.
Yeah, that's great.
Can I ask a question about the survey? I noticed that the staff, EMS staff, 70% when you asked them were saying that they actually were looking for a full chief. Did you follow up with anybody about that? That's a pretty high number to me, right? That's not exactly split. Although I know, I think the numbers were a little different when it comes to EMTs, or I mean volunteer EMTs, although smaller number of survey takers too, right? So do you know why that was? And do you think that your proposal to hire an assistant chief and training officer would satisfy the goal of the people of the 70%? Again, we're not a democracy, as you mentioned, but data are helpful, right? So I'd love to know a little more.
60%.
69, 0.2, I rounded up to 70.
I thought it was 60% wanted a chief, 55% wanted an assistant chief training officer.
There was some confusion too, right? Because it's true. Right. Yeah. Do they? Yeah. And that's because you couldn't choose one or the other. But.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the volunteers were split. It was like 44%, 44%. The staff, it was 70% and 55%. So someone voted twice. And it overall rounds out to around, what was the number? It was around 60% for the whole agency wanted a chief, 55% wanted a training officer. So the numbers are just a little wonky. And yeah, I mean, I think what, you know, people have told me they're worried that I won't have time. I think people do want, you know, to some degree, people do want a chief. I'm not going to lie. I think that a chief would be a more popular decision in some ways. I think people appreciate me and value what I've done here. But that doesn't mean that they necessarily want me to stay here, right? I mean, it is what it is. And I don't want to speak for people and be like, oh yeah, everyone here wants me to stay in this role forever. I just think that people have told me they're worried about uptime. They're worried about the village. I think people crave a return to normalcy. The catch is there's no going back to where we were. You know, we have the village. We can't run them as separate entities. The federal and state will see us as the same entity. Having that coordination matters. And this is frankly like a point where I just think I think we should basically do what we think is best, because our agency is telling us that they have ambivalence over it. And I will say this, and I do think I'm on good grounding on this. No one has told me that they think it's a terrible idea to hire an assistant chief. If they did, they'd be calling you. If people really wanted a full chief and they had a lot of energy over it, you'd be getting calls. People would be pounding your door being like, why are you doing this? And we've been transparent about this. I've communicated to people about it, invited people to talk to the board. People have come and talked to me about it. It's super awkward for me. I'm not like trying to jockey for a particular position. And like I said, I am in charge of everything either way. So it's just an honest assessment of what we need. If you understand the union contract, if you understand the situation, is we need someone who is full-time on training and here in the station 5 days a week, who doesn't have all the administrative responsibilities of a chief. So that is what we need. And sometimes in life you have to recommend something even though you know people are going to be like, well, you're just looking out for yourself, you're really only just trying to take care of yourself. And I think, you know, in this situation, there's some sensitivity for me where I do feel sensitive about that. I don't want to be, trying to get myself a position that is best for me. I'll be very frank. It is best for me to run the village or to be involved in the long-term care. There is not a long-term future for me in emergency services unless it is here. Long-term for me, career-wise, is much better for me to be on the other side. But our agency needs this. If you want to hire a full chief in a year when we renewed our levy, I'm fine with that. So I just think this is the more pressing need, and that's the bottom line.
I don't know. If I can just follow up on that, it sounds like you're thinking if we hired a chief, then they wouldn't also be a training type officer. That would those are mutually exclusive ideas. And by the way, I do agree, yeah, as a superintendent, and we started this conversation 2 years ago, right? The superintendent is at the top of the entity. And so they supervise everything. To me, the question is, how much of a hands-on role do you play in EMS? And is that the appropriate setup for our agency? And what do people expect for our EMS leadership under that silo to look like? That's kind of where I'm coming from.
Right.
So I think my question was, yeah, about is it mutually exclusive to have a full chief and a training officer, or could those be the same person?
They're mutually exclusive. We can't, I mean, like someone was asking me, well, why can't you just handle the finances and the chief, you know, we hire a full chief. Well, it doesn't work like that. If you're out there, you're authorizing an expenditure for something in an ambulance. If you're out there, you know, offering someone a raise, you need to understand the budget. There's just no way around it. If you're going to go out and hire people, you need to understand HR law. If you're going to be a chief, then you need to understand these things. And that's what the role is. We can't just delegate, you know, everything to the superintendent and then still have a full chief. You know, like if you really want to run this department, you must understand the administrative things. That is literally the job. It is why no chief in the past has had time to be in the field. You cannot do both. If you're going to negotiate an agreement with the union, you need to understand what they do. I mean, you need to understand the finances of what the implications of a change in a step increase is over 10 years. I mean, there's no way around it. So I think we can delegate certain things to an assistant chief, but you know, if you really want to run a department, you've got to understand the finances. You've got to understand HR law. You've got to understand how the administrative stuff works.
And just to clarify, I think I'm not as pessimistic about others that finding a chief that we wouldn't be able to find a chief who could do that. I was thinking more truly about like the timing of that position too. You know, a chief who was a full chief, would they not have the time to do, say, the training that we think is necessary or some of the other things? Is it basically that we just have too many obligations, even if we found the right person, that they wouldn't be able to do those?
Yeah, you can't do both. It's not remotely realistic. This is ironically the model San Juan Island Fire and Rescue has, right? They have a chief and an assistant chief who runs training. It's not an uncommon thing. I know ORC has just hired an assistant chief, ORC is Fire and Rescue. These are responsibilities that delegate pretty well, but we can't have a department head also doing all the training. It's just not realistic. I remember Jerry Martin, he routinely worked more than 40 hours. He certainly didn't have time for training. I think it was the same with Carl. Carl worked very hard for lots of hours. I mean, he didn't have time to run training. And Carl's a gifted teacher. Like, you know, he would have been, and he is a training officer with the fire department. He would have been a great training officer. But you can't do both. So.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I support the assistant chief training officer position. And then, like you said, when we do the levy, we can rethink it too. Down the line, and it is. I believe it is hard to find a chief because we've had trouble with the chiefs that we've had in the past. So there's been issues about having all those skill levels, like you're mentioning. So I think at this moment, because we need help now, and it would strengthen everything, and then it would be a slower transition over to somebody else too if Nathan takes on more of the village and the superintendent role and EMS. Stabilizes all the more. It's my two cents.
Thank you. Everett, do you want to weigh in on this? Or, I mean, I know you and I have talked this through, so.
Yes, right. I mean, we have talked it through. I guess that maybe I need to be on record of saying that at this point, I think that maybe a baby step is appropriate, and so I think the an assistant chief and training officer is the correct thing to do, and we can change our minds and do something else as time permits, and things are not broken now, and that seems as Mr. Butler says, that would fill a big hole directly to get a training officer and assistant chief. So I think that's the best thing to do. It's in the budget.
It is in fact in the budget. Anything further, Trish? No? Okay. Okay, and so I guess the other thing on this timeline is really deciding when we're gonna go out for our levy renewal. And we do have a draft for the levy, I believe that you've all seen. And Does anyone believe we ought to just, we know where we're going, we know what we're doing, should we just go for February?
I think so. You know, we've seen where things have lined up. The topic is, it's very current still, I think, for our community, and they're looking at things and trying to figure out what to do. I think if this is a step that we are going to take to renew our EMS levy, I say let's go ahead and move forward and provide the certainty that the agency has not had, I think, in quite some time. Of course, there's no certainty until the vote, right? That's going to determine everything. But if we're headed that direction, let's go ahead and step on it.
I agree with Commissioner Loring. I think that we know that the levy needs to be renewed next year, and the sooner the better. Let's get on with it. No point in just waiting. I don't see any value in that. So I think we should go ahead and start the process for February.
Gail, Trish?
I think just for the community to be acutely aware that this is a renewal of our levy for our ongoing EMS service is, you know, the critical component. But I think it seems appropriate that we should put it on the ballot for February.
Danielle?
I think it's a lot of work, but I think that being uncertain to what having not heard anything from the fire district, I think it's important for us to take our path, make a clear path in front of the public, you know, to the public, make a clear message to the public about what we're doing, so we don't get sidetracked into distracting thoughts and levies and whatnot. So I think it'd be a good time to get the word out and do it since it's fresh off the presses to have a levy, and the voters know it didn't pass. So time to say, okay, here's ours, and this is the one you've been paying for, and keep our system going, our programs going strongly.
Okay. Yeah, I like what you're all thinking. I agree with you. Nathan, do you have the draft from our attorney available to put up on the screen right now? I know I have a copy of it somewhere.
I do. I'm happy to put it up.
If we can look at this now and approve it, then we don't have to have a special meeting, right? Because isn't the deadline the 12th, the 10th?
The deadline is December 10th.
I like the idea of no special meeting. Saves money, right?
Well, it's a big decision. I think if we need a special meeting, it's $600 to a special meeting. And it's a really big decision. But that said, if you really are confident in what you want to do, I have no objection to just moving forward. I would have liked to have been able to do more financial modeling on this. I would like to have a 6-year plan in front of me. But we have done financial modeling on this, you know, and we've floated around the idea of 45 cents before, which would raise an additional around $400,000 a year, which is more than adequate to protect our services over the next 6 years. I don't have any anxiety over that number. And given that, the resolution itself is just drawn up by our attorney. So there's really not a lot of discretion on that resolution. Mm-hmm. So I personally would be fine with the board making a decision on this tonight. So take that for what it's worth. And I'm sharing it right now, the document. Let's see. Should be up momentarily.
Yeah, you've got it.
Let's see. Probably I need to make this one. There we go. Can you all see it all right?
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
I mean, it's just a bunch of whereases. That's not terribly consequential. Section one, you know, it says that we provide emergency medical services. But you see the 45-cent number, I think, is in six places. The collection would begin in 2023. That's section two, 45 cents. Section three just basically states that EMS money should be used for EMS purposes. We don't, interestingly enough, have a reverse obligation. We don't have any obligation to only use non-EMS hospital district levy money on a certain purpose. It can actually be used on EMS, but this is a standard clause for virtually any EMS levy, is that it can only be used on EMS, because many kinds of jurisdictions can raise EMS levies: towns, cities, counties, fire protection districts, hospital districts. And it's basically a provision to protect the public from jurisdictions that would use EMS money for something else. I don't know, school buses or whatever. I don't know. Let's see. It's just saying, you know, we acknowledge the auditor. All this stuff is just straight out of RCW requirement. Here's the actual proposition: renewal of six-year emergency medical services property tax levy. Will San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 be authorized to impose regular property tax levies of 45 cents or less per $1,000 of assessed valuation for six consecutive years? It is, in a legal sense, a new levy, but it's given certain privileges by virtue of the fact that it is a renewal. We only need 50% plus one vote to be able to get it passed. But this is statutory language that we can't change. And the county prosecutor can change the title if he wishes. And we have not, since the board did not make a decision till tonight, what you were going to do, we have not had a chance to run this by the county prosecutor. And he was a little bit, I don't know, I don't want to say picky, but I guess I just did about the last ballot measure. But he was very good about communicating with us about it. And but this is his prerogative to change the title. And then the rest of this is, you know, there's a certification authorizing me to implement, you know, this measure. And that's really it. And it's got your signatures. This is like a very, very straightforward ballot measure. The main issue is just the timing. Do you really want to do this February? And the other issue is the rate. And I'm comfortable with 45 cents. It's 5 cents lower than what the fire district proposed. When we did the math, when we signed the MOU, we told them that we needed that. Part of the agreement was that they would go out for at least 45 cents, which is what we estimated was the lower limit for what an acceptable rate would be. We said 45 cents to 50 cents, and I think that's still accurate. It's that we can definitely continue to operate EMS for the next 6 years at 45 cents. I'm very comfortable with that. We could maybe even go a little lower, but I would feel more nervous about it. So take that for what you will. I would be nervous at less than 45. But if we had to, maybe. I just want to do some financial modeling. 45 cents is basically a 7-cent increase to preserve our levy over the 6 years. And the next 6 years is very reasonable. So.
Okay, thank you.
Does anybody want to see any part of this more, or should I stop sharing?
I don't need to see more myself.
I
get very confused about the difference between levying and collecting, but I'm going to assume that somebody else understands that better than I do.
The stuff's super confusing. We just basically have our attorneys do it.
We levy before we actually collect, the year before we start collecting.
Yeah, and it's really weird that you can't even mention that it's an EMS levy in the text of the ballot measure. It's just so weird. Yeah. But, yeah. It does not have a resolution number. This was just a draft. I believe the next resolution number is 562. So if you want to adopt this tonight, it would be resolution 21-562. Is that accurate, Steve? Thank you.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, in that case, I would entertain a motion of intent to pass resolution 562 to run a levy renewal on the February ballot. Anybody want to
question?
Gail's made a motion to approve moving resolution 562.
Adopt resolution 21-562.
Correct.
Thank you.
I second it.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
I just wanted to confirm, so this does not have to be, this was not on our agenda.
This is a regular board meeting. You don't have any obligation to stick to any business.
Okay, great. I just, you know, I still have things to learn and I just wanted to make sure. Yeah.
That is true of a special meeting.
Yeah. Okay.
The main reason is not to restrict your ability to make decisions, is to make sure you're telling the public that you're meeting to make decisions. And our regular board meetings are at the same time every month, so you don't have a restriction on that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I think that was a great question. I am comfortable that we did have that withdrawal of the MOU on our agenda. And this is very closely related to that, because if we're not supporting integration, EMS still needs to continue.
Exactly. Okay, is there any further discussion? Shall I call for a vote?
It's a big lift, commissioners. I guess I would just ask that if we're really going to do this in February, and it sounds like we are, and I am supportive of that, just ask that. Like, we've got a lot of work to do between now and then. And I think in some ways it helps, because we're not taking over the village till March. Like, getting this taken care of, like, actually makes some sense in that light. But I really, really beg of you all that we really pitch in on this, because we've just asked a lot of many of our allies to help get our lid lift passed. And this is a big undertaking. How big? I don't know, but I don't want to take the public for granted. We could just put it on the ballot and let it run, but I mean, we should do the due diligence of putting up a budget and justifying what we're doing. And I will need all of you. We will all need to be work on this, and we will ask staff and the agency and make sure that people are aware of this and know what the stakes are. We obviously can't ask staff to campaign on our behalf, but we would just basically tonight put out a plea. You know, we're passing this. While it's still legal, please help us do this. Please, everyone, pitch in. Dear union, please help. Please, dear staff and volunteers, please help. It would be tremendous to just have this done, though, in February and just move forward. It would be really neat for us.
Yeah, all the more reason to have it done before we take on the responsibility of the village as well.
Superintendent Butler, can you run a 6-year budget with a relatively simple multiplier based on our current budget and the budget that we're about to adopt tonight for 2022?
I can, but I will take it seriously and make it like a good budget, and I will get it done within the next 2 weeks, you know, and we will consider capital needs and fleet and at least give a set of notions about what we're planning to do.
That'd be great. And if you do find that that is not matching up well with the 45 cents in either direction, really, please let us know as soon as possible. And we could consider having a special meeting if we needed to do that to adjust a number that we were asking for. Because I do think that's the one critical key here, right?
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm willing to take that on.
Nathan, you have my support.
Thank you.
I will do whatever
Thank you.
I can. So I know everybody will. Okay, in light of that, I will call for a vote on 21-562. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Everett? I think he's frozen. I think I heard him, though.
I just say aye.
Okay, good. Okay. Thank you. All right. Where are we? Are we, since we've got that accomplished,